the humans that use those platforms are doing all the work for the platform.
So let's imagine a new internet.
It is called the ASS protocol.
It's not advertising, it's zappertising.
I don't think that people care about privacy.
Guess of what the price of attention is? I think it's a lot higher than we think.
Whatever, whatever, whatever. Like,
if you're not paying me, I'm not watching.
I feel like that was not spam.
You're listening to Flirting with Bitcoin, a weekly chat with my very interesting husband about Bitcoin and how the world and our family's life is better because of it.
It's season 4 and we've moved to Noster City.
So my Bitcoin lessons are done?
Your Bitcoin lessons are never done.
So what does new social media have to do with it?
Babe, Noster is more than social media. If Bitcoin is the new money, Noster is the new internet.
You really think so?
I do. I believe Noster will drive the next wave of Bitcoin adoption. So Noster City is where we need to be.
We?
Yeah, of course we're bringing Keon. You got your bags packed, buddy?
Yes.
Good job. Don't forget to pack your NPub.
Let's go. Hey, Ian.
Hey, Mandana.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I am very congested.
I'm sure everyone listening can tell.
Yes, the seasonal allergies of the mid-Atlantic United States has got me.
Well, you know, you love claiming you're a Maryland girl. This is part of being a Maryland girl.
It wasn't like this growing up. Times are changing, but we must carry forward. Today, I'm really strong, babe. You really liked that one, didn't you?
You're talking about allergy struggle like you're Margaret Thatcher.
It's so hard. I can't sleep. I've been up since 4 a.m. for the record.
Like Margaret Thatcher was like giving a speech to the Brits about fighting the Germans. Or the communists, even better. She was fighting communists. All right, sorry.
We're recording live, baby. This is the Flirting with Bitcoin podcast. Ian, my head is deep in advertising. The more I look into how it works, digital ads on social media specifically, the more I am a little surprised that people aren't talking about this more, like how much we are being exploited.
Why should they talk about it more?
I mean, just generally, everyone thinks they're woke and they think they know what's going on and they think they're voting with their dollars. If they support something, they go and they spend their money there. If they don't, they pull their money out. Like, people think that they're making power moves, but you're still giving all of your stuff to these platforms, all of your data.
Right. The reason why I was framing it like that is to say the people that are telling them who to be outraged at are the people that are doing it to them the most.
Yes, I understand that. Absolutely. But I still think that it's something that the actual consumers of these apps, the consumers of the apps are actually the advertisers, the people using the apps, could be a little louder. They complain about other things. They complain about features like we should be able to edit tweets. You know, how much people complain about those types of things. Complain about this. But that's not going to happen. And the tech giants are never going to change what they're doing. Fortunately, we have Freedom Tech and we have people that are working on different solutions to, you know, change how our identities operate on the internet and, right, like everything we do. But a part of that is, well, like, how do you put ads into that? How can you put your ads into a digital experience where it's not just what we were complaining about, which is like, incredibly exploitative and intrusive advertising?
That's a great question.
Yeah. So today I want to talk about solutions to attention theft. Like, obviously, I think NextBlock is the solution, but we're not the only ones that are playing around with this concept of paying people to watch ads. And like with Noster, you can just zap people Bitcoin. So it's like this really fun playground where people can test out these new theories. But it's also going to happen on the app protocol where like Blue Sky is and there's Mastodon. Like, people are going to be testing this out. And I think it's a cool discussion to have because there's more than one way to do it. And it's likely going to be the inevitable way we watch advertising going forward.
I think so too.
Yeah. If you're not paying me, I'm not watching.
That's the ideal that we're trying to reach. Yes.
But before we get into it, babe, what time is it?
The current time is 893-664, and we're approximately 1,440 blocks since our last recording.
And if I gave you one US dollar, how many acres could I get on sunny Bitcoin Island?
Well, we've run up a little bit. So today you can get 1,066 acres, aka Satoshis, on sunny Bitcoin Island.
I will say that this week, two people told me they regretted not having Bitcoin or listening to me or buying more Bitcoin or avoiding altcoins.
Do you know the meme?
No.
The Donald Glover meme? Good.
I mean,
I don't know how to convey that through audio, but.
Yeah, I get what. Yes, it's good because it's like, well, do you get it now? I'm not sure they did, but hopefully they will. But I think it's a good step. I actually read this really interesting paper earlier this morning about no coiners. I wish I could remember what it was called, but it was just theorizing all the different things that no coiners go through. And part of it is, you know, we've talked about the shame and the regret and those types of things, but another part of it is like the resentment that they have for Bitcoiners because they got Bitcoin, but they don't. It was a really interesting paper, but I think when someone says that to me, they're at least not a no-coiner, you know? They're, like, not hating.
I mean, these are all made-up terms. No-coiner, partial-coiner, whatever. Like, I'm just happy that they've had the realization.
Exactly.
That's all.
Small wins. So, yes, while the price of Bitcoin does not matter, it does open up opportunities to orange pill people or solidify.
Solidify what?
I don't know, like some conviction.
I guess. Yeah. I will admit it took a lot to build my conviction. So I don't blame anyone who it takes a while.
Absolutely. Take your time, but not too much time.
Get the power back. Get the freedom back. Get an M-Pub. And just start with that.
So let's imagine a new internet where any one person can send any other one person money directly without any intermediary. And instantly. So you don't have to imagine it. That exists. That's Noster. So I don't want to like get into too much of the details of Noster and be technical. I want to just talk about what people are trying out now that you can just send someone money directly. So like doesn't have to be Bitcoin. Let's just think of it as a direct money transfer, right? There are four projects. We can talk about Nextblock very briefly in the beginning, but obviously, I'm going to want to like compare what we're doing to what everyone else is. But simply put, Nextblock will let someone opt in to watch ads and they will say how much they want to get paid to watch a 60-second ad. And then every 10 minutes or so, when there's a new block on the Bitcoin blockchain, they get matched up with an ad that meets their price. They watch it. And then after they watch that ad, they can say, I don't want to watch this ad again, or I don't want to get something from this brand again. And that's it. Like we are going to obviously build on top of that and keep going. But we're not going to do any intrusive data collection or any of the things that like the current advertisers are doing. We're just starting there. And I do believe that if we ever get to a place where we want to do more targeted ads, that would be information that the person selling their attention would be giving. Like they would be customizing the ads that they want to see because you still do get value from getting advertisements. Like you can say, oh, I'm interested in these topics and these services and these types of podcasts, whatever it is. If you want to curate your own advertising feed because you actually want like a strong discovery tool for finding things, right? Like I believe that that's how we should build it and put the power and empower the person that's selling their attention. At the same time, advertisers should be able to only pay out if someone's actually watched their ad. I think that's fair, right? And at least we can give them that to the extent possible with technology, right? Impressions, not completely clear what that means, right? That's up to whatever the platform is deciding. for how we're doing it, we're saying you only pay someone if they watch the ad and that you pay the price that you've decided to pay. And then we just take a service hosting fee. So we don't take any of the ad budget. We just have a hosting fee for that budget. That's what NextBlock is. And, you know, NextBlock is possible because of Bitcoin and Nostr technology. But there's other things that are also happening on Nostr. Like, we're not the first ones to try to figure out how to advertise our market on Nostr. I would think the most popular one is Zapvertising. So, Ian, like, could you briefly explain what Zapvertising is?
Yeah, so on Nostr, you can zap people Bitcoin. And when you do that, you are capable of providing a little message in your zap. And so people took that ability to put a message in there and they started putting quote unquote advertising in those messages. And so that fundamentally became Zapvertising. I'm going to send you a certain amount of Bitcoin, which will hopefully get your attention. And in that message of you receiving the Bitcoin, you'll get maybe a link to something or like notify that a product's on sale or whatever they want to message you. And that's pretty much all Zapvertising is. With that idea, people built on top of that idea and created interfaces where you can schedule zaps and all this kind of stuff, right? But fundamentally, that's the idea.
And it works. I mean, wouldn't you read the note attached to money that's been sent to you? I mean, most of us read comments on things that we've posted, or if we get tagged in something, we look at it. And so this is that same type of, I hate to say spam, that we're experiencing on social media and other places, but this comes with some money. And unfortunately, while I think it is a way to capture people's attention while giving them value, it's not consensual. And I think that's the trickiest part of all of this for me when it comes to advertising. And it's not allowing me to decide how much I need to get paid for them to be able to zap me. And then there's also this gaming element that's happening with like popular posts. People can zap a lot. And so that they're shown as the top zapper. And so if you're going to a popular post, you're seeing that other, that account that zapped it. And it's getting as many eyeballs as this popular post has. Sure, I guess it's nice that you're giving all of that money to that person, but it's non-consensual.
Yeah, and I mean,
you can't delete zaps.
I mean, you can, but it's complicated.
I don't know how. Yeah,
but to
a
your
regular
point,
user.
Yeah, but to your point of like attention theft, like by, for example, zapping 100,000 sats to a very popular post, and now your brand or product is like the prominent zap on that post. I don't really have a technical issue with that. I think this is more like an ideological thing or like a morals thing or whatever. But these are the openings that happen when a system wasn't actually designed for advertising, right? Like we're using a loophole in the protocol to do a thing. So of course it's going to be abused, whether it's for good reasons or bad reasons.
But this is already happening on legacy social media. So there is this whole subculture of brands, like official brand accounts of the most random companies, just being really funny on other people's posts on TikTok. And so you could have something go viral and you could have a bunch of brands just go in there and leave funny comments or supportive comments. And then people get excited because it's a verified account. It's very random that that brand is commenting there and it gets all this attention. And they do it all the time. It's they hire, right? They just hire social media experts at these random companies and they have random accounts. Like Duolingo is a really popular example. What it is today, I think we're all used to it. We've seen the Duolingo TikTok account enough, but like it's not out there, I think, really promoting learning new languages. It's just being funny. And so that's how it was getting people's attention and like gaming the algorithm in that way, being really funny in the comments. You can still do all of that and then also zap people. I would say that, yes, it's not necessarily attention theft because you're giving them something back. You're deciding how much their attention is worth and you're paying them for it. But there's still this lack of control that we have that we need to take back as much as possible. And so I think that because this technology offers us this opportunity to do what NextBlock is trying out, that's what we should be trying, because we should try to be giving the people who are bringing the value into this whole exchange the most value. They should be the ones that are deciding if an advertisement can get shown to them. And this concept of opting into ads also is not new, that we're doing the consensual side of it, right? Like Brave lets you opt into seeing ads.
They do. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really know how that's going. I use Brave all the time and I don't have it turned on.
Yeah.
So I'm just a sample set of one.
I know. Yeah. But there are people trying to offer more rights to the person who's seeing the advertisement. And I think that the way that we design what we designed is ensuring that the person watching the ad has the most rights in the whole process. Would you not agree?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's the most rights we can give, right? Opt in is, if you don't want to participate, then you're not going to be influenced by any of this stuff. But our system doesn't prevent someone from zapvertising you, right?
It doesn't. It doesn't at all.
So even if you opted to our system, you don't stop the other things from happening, right? So the thing that we have to really pull off is our thing is so good that people, in theory, zapvertising is less attractive.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like one will feel like spam versus one will feel like it's exciting, respected exchange of attention and money.
Well, the thing that, you know, Nextblock and really fundamentally the promo protocol provides is some data, right? Like if someone does watch your ad, there's an event that gets signed that said they watched the ad. You, with Zapvertising, you don't really know unless they, I suppose, go to the link that you provide, but you can't put tracking on that. So someone coming to your website, how do you know they came from your Zap or just went to your website, right?
Oh, I wonder, can the Zap have a link in it?
You can put a link in a Zap, but links in Zaps are not by default clickable.
Yeah.
So like, for example, Blockstream. When we were in Madeira, Blockstream sent me a Zapvertisement. It was like 250 sats. Got my attention.
It did.
Right?
You're talking about it now.
But I didn't go to
Shout out to Blockstream.
Yeah, but like I didn't, it's not advertising. It's a personal experience. But I didn't go to the website.
It's not advertising. It's Zapvertising.
Sure. Yeah. So like, I feel like that was not spam, right? Like Blockstream's a legitimate company. They were telling me that a thing that I have purchased in the past is on sale. So, right. So like everything about that was normal. But if I go to the link that they put in there, there's no way they know that I went there from that Zapvertisement. I think they gave me a code, and perhaps the code, if I use that for the discount, would be the way they could tell. Right. So they're basically saying, like, I'm willing to give this guy money because if he comes and buys a thing with this code, totally cancels out the cost of the 20 cents that I gave him. Right. And so you have to do that math. Right. And that's what those platforms for Zapvertising provide, is like helping you do that math. Like, was this cost effective? But I think with the promo protocol, because I've been working on a lot of the metric stuff lately, it's going to be more, I think, what people are used to in the sense of data, like number of starts, number of completions, right? Stuff like that. But that data is not from like surveillance. That data is literally the person through the app that they're using is signing a Nostr event and publishing it, saying, yes, I'm agreeing to watch this ad and I am starting now.
Yeah.
And when they complete, the billboard itself says, yes, they finished watching the ad, and the billboard signs an event. So those two signatures have some validity as just a pure data set, which I don't think you get from the quote unquote advertising non-consensual approach.
You had said it once. It makes an attention record.
Well, it's a marketplace. So it's creating a record that a normal marketplace would have, which is there was a buyer and a seller. They agreed on a price and a product was exchanged. And all of that data exists on Nostr now. It's not in the Nextblock database. Mm-hmm. It's just on the Nostr protocol. Anyone can query the data and see it.
So let's talk about BuzzBot. So BuzzBot
is the latest.
Yeah, it's the new hotness.
There was actually something before BuzzBot that you didn't have on your list. It was called Prism. Mm. And so Prisms were like, you could attach a Prism to a note, and if someone zapped the note, the Prism was configured to route the money to different people.
What does that do? Is that advertising?
So Prism was a way to say, here's a thing. If you like it, zap it. And these people are going to benefit from your zapping. So if you are advertising a product and you zapped it and it had a prism attached to it, then someone would go to the creator, someone would go to probably the person who was running the prism project, right?
Okay.
It was like that. And so people were using it for advertising. Mm-hmm. BuzzBot is like a reimagining, in my opinion, of prism.
Oh, interesting. So let me explain what BuzzBot is. Any creator, poster, person posting a note, whatever you want to call it, tags in their note BuzzBot, like at BuzzBot, for Bitcoin bounties on posts. So they charge a 15% fee. So you say in your post, like, I want to do a bounty for 100,000 sats. They will send you a invoice. They'll direct message it to you. If you pay it, then the bounties will give 70% to the top zapper of your note and then 10% to a random commenter, someone who likes it and someone who reposts it. So that's giving three people 10%. And so that's how it splits out your ad campaign that you post in your actual note. So people are having fun with it. Like,
it's pretty cool.
It is really cool. And I think that it's a fun way to tell people, like, hey, if you like this, like, give it another look and then also engage with it. It's relying then on a couple of things. It's relying on people that are reposting it to have an audience. It's also assuming that people are using algorithms that are going to show them the most popular thing. But I think that it's a very creative way to get something shared. I don't know if I've seen actually something marketed. I've seen like test ones and people having fun with it. But it is really cool to see because obviously Ian and I, we've been shopping around this idea of ads on Noster with a lot of people, and some people are so against it. But it's happening. It's happening at a level that I think very active users are embracing.
Yeah, I mean anything that keeps people, I hate saying it like this, but anything that keeps people entertained or locked into mm-hmm. or paying attention to Noster fundamentally means that they're not putting their attention and energies into the old legacy systems. So, you know, I think it's pretty cool. I personally wouldn't have built it, but I saw what they did and I was like, that's pretty cool. Because it is just like another attempt. It's like another, like, hey, what about this? And we can do these experimentations. Normal big companies don't do like multiple experiments at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so right now, 2025 for Noster seems like the age of like experimenting with ads.
Yeah, and it's cool to know that there are a lot of other people that are thinking about this, which brings me to the next project. This project was born in the Sovereign Engineering Cohort 4, and it was after Ian had talked about what we're doing, and I'm going to let Ian explain it. It's really cool, and Ian says that we will eventually use it. It's called SIGS for SATs, like signatures for SATs, and it's by a developer named Victor. He's awesome and really funny. He actually wrote it all into something called the ASS protocol. He's just very silly. He's very good at branding. This guy knows branding. I'm going to hand it over to you to explain what on earth I'm talking about.
Great segue. Yeah, so it is called the ASS protocol as an acronym. The acronym is Atomic Signature Swaps. And so similar to Bitcoin, Noster works on Schnorr signatures. And so what Victor did was basically say, is there a way that I can verify that someone has done an action before I pay them to do that action, right? So I want you to retweet something. And if you retweet it, if I can prove that you retweeted it, I'll give you some money. And so when I was talking about the attention marketplace, there was a lot of pushback of like, how are you going to prove that they watched the ad purely on the Noster protocol with signatures? And I was saying like, well, not doing it purely on Noster. We're doing some other things to prove that they watched the ad. So Victor was like, well, I think I can prove that they did things like all the other things, all the other events that happen on Noster are provable. And so, yeah, he worked out the Schnorr signature and he did a presentation on it. And the math definitely checks out. I had never actually seen someone do that. So that was really educational for me to like watch him show the what is it, the derivative, I believe that's what it's called, but like the formula of like how this works mathematically. And it works very simple. So basically, because both signatures are needed for the exchange of funds to happen, you don't get paid unless you actually did the thing. And that right there, I thought was very, very powerful, because even if you retweet something or repost something and then undo it, it still went out, right? Like, it's still out there. Same thing for like leaving an emoji or anything like that. Like, those things, they actually happened. Again, it's, I can't force you from undoing it. I can't prevent you from undoing it, but you did the action. So I'm willing to have the value exchange.
Yeah. So like, he's playing around with a lot of different use cases, but one is called Louder. It exists. It's called LOUDR. Is it .com? .net?
Probably .com.
I think it's .com. And you can say, I want you to repost this note and I'll pay this much. And you can go and like pick which ones you'll do, and you can repost it and get paid. I don't know if it's operational yet, but like, he wants people to go in there, play around with it. So please do if you're a dev. But yeah, so much can come from that. But it's really cool that just by hearing how we're trying to do ads, it got him thinking about it. And so next block will come and go, maybe, I don't know, hopefully stay, but other people are going to pop up with their ideas. Hopefully they're going to use our promo protocol. But if not, they'll come up with their own thing.
Yeah. I just want to add on to that particular idea. So, while we were in Madeira, Victor published the protocol. A guy that was at the MIT hackathon picked it up and used it and won the hackathon.
Yeah.
Using Victor's atomic signature swap protocol. So I jokingly say, like, I'm 2 degrees of separation away from winning that MIT.
Basically, there you go.
Winning that MIT hackathon. But this is a really cool thing about the difference between protocols and platforms, right? So if Nextblock were like this super private company, we wouldn't have gone to Madeira. I would never talk to Victor. And I would have never been like, that's actually a cool idea. You should do that, right? Like, I would have never had those exchanges. And so because we're doing this in the open, we know that there's a problem that needs to be solved, and everyone gets to see all the attempts, how they succeed, how they fail. And we can iterate a lot faster than any legacy company could or would, because they don't have to. You're already locked into their system. So I thought that Victor's project helping that guy win the MIT hackathon was like really strong signal that even the people that are at that, it was a Bitcoin, like crypto Bitcoin hackathon, were like, this is the coolest thing that like it won. So it's like, yes, this is a problem that needs to be solved. Full stop.
Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe a lot more people are angry about this than I'm thinking.
I think we are very early in what we can do with Bitcoin on social media with Noster. Like, Zaps are still in the age of technology. Zaps are very new.
Exactly. Like, this concept of just being able to send anyone money.
And so what we've seen in the past is, instead of, oh, you zap Bitcoin, we saw people spin up entire new crypto coins. That's what they were spinning up their crypto coins for, was so that people could exchange money for their little use case. Oh, you want to store files on my server? Use my file coin. Or, oh, you want to do XYZ? Use my specific coin. With Zaps, we just gobbled up that whole use case. If you're spinning up a crypto to do that, you've already failed.
How embarrassing.
Well, hopefully you pay yourself a large salary from your VC money, but you're not going to be successful.
Get the power back, get the freedom back, get an M-Pub, and just start with that.
We can't give Noster all the attention. I wanted to talk about Blue Sky and the app protocol and some other places where people are going that are supposed to be escapes, right, from the legacy social media model. I'm not on Blue Sky, and I don't really know much, but I tried to do some research and there aren't ads on there yet. I think there are different ideas floating around, but they're not really publicly discussed. I do think that there are more public conversations happening around how creators can get rewarded. That seems to be where they're focusing those conversations on. And I think same goes with Mastodon, but there's a way for them to sponsor the servers that are running it. Have you heard this?
Yes, you can sponsor things.
Exactly. So that's kind of how they're trying to tackle it. And then there's something called Lens Protocol. And they have NFT ad slots, which I could not figure out what that is. So I think it's interesting that you have these solutions that have been spun up to tackle, you know, social media and their supposed decentralized socialized media offerings, and they have no ads. And so no one thought to start with it. And people are not necessarily innovating outside of Noster. Like you were saying, like, oh, Elon went in and he took over Twitter and he was like, we got to pay the creators, as if he's being innovative. That's not innovative. He's just having a company catch up with the industry. Whereas the innovation of Noster opened up a lot of new ideas from a lot of different people that weren't talking to each other, right? I guess we were talking with Victor, but that's the exception. It seems like that's the exception.
Yeah, I mean, this is where incentives matter, right? So if you're a blue sky, right, and your incentive is to tell everyone that we have a better way of doing social media, well, you already know that everyone hates ads. They hate the way that the business is run with the ads in the legacy system. So why would you even include that? Full stop, right? Now, you better believe Blue Sky will have ads at some point. There's zero chance that the thing works without ads, without some monetization strategy. Okay, you're going to pay creators. Who's paying the creators, right? Like, all this stuff is going to come again. And so if you don't change the incentives, you're going to get the same outcomes. So yes, Blue Sky may seem better because there's no ads right now. And yes, you'll have some entrepreneurial people that are going to try to do maybe something slightly different.
Subscriptions,
sure. Now you're competing with Substack. Right? Like, Substack is taking the subscription route. All I'm saying is that at the end of the day, Blue Sky, if it's going to live, it needs to produce enough money to pay people to keep working on it. And unless they do something different in how they monetize themselves, you're going to end up at the same spot. I think this is very funny because last night we watched Mythic Quest. Mm-hmm. And there's the money guy, Brad, right? Mm-hmm. And so they did like this whole, like, he's like this international man of mystery around how the money guys, they're always around the idea people. Mm-hmm. It's like, you have the idea, but how are you going to pay for it? I'm the guy that finds you the money. And so I believe that Blue Sky, unless they have different money guys, the money guys that are going to be attracted to Blue Sky are the same money guys coming from Twitter, from YouTube, from all those other places. They're bringing the same ideas and the same approaches. On Noster, we don't really have any money guys. So that's why you're seeing all these other things, which are like Boostbot and Zapvertising and like I said,
Nextblock.
Prism and Nextblock, right?
Just two strappy kids trying to change the world.
But we're bringing a different set of incentives.
Yeah.
And I believe it's those incentives, not so much the opting in and the paying you to watch the ad in particular, it's the incentives of it all. And all of these different things on Noster really in their own way are bringing is a different set of incentives. So with a different set of incentives, you can expect a different outcome. I don't know what that outcome will be, but I'm very suspect if Noster will devolve into what Facebook and Twitter and all the other platforms have become. I just don't think the incentives are there.
I agree. I think that the incentives that we're offering and some of these other projects are offering are maybe enough to pull people away from their current state of attention theft, of constant attention theft. And I think that if we are able to pull this off, And we have this really cool dashboard that's showing the statistics around the money that's flowing and how much money is getting paid out overall to people for just watching ads. I think it, more and more it's going to click how valuable our attention is. I really hate saying my guess of what the price of attention is, but I think it's a lot higher than we think. I think it's going to take, I don't know if it'll be immediate, but sometimes I think that advertisers are so used to spending so much that they'll pay more than we expect. That's my guess. We got to see how it plays out. We'll know in a few weeks. But I'm convinced by everything that I've been reading and just experiencing now with this lens, we could fund a free internet with this.
Yeah, by putting the majority of the money that user-generated content generates, right? Because creators are generating user-generated content. Like, these platforms are not creating the things that we enjoy on them. YouTube does not make content, right? So by putting the majority of the value that that user-generated content generates in the hands of not only the creators, but the people that are making those things valuable, which are the people that come back and watch those things, and basically through human action are deciding what is good, the humans that use those platforms are doing all the work for the platforms. Platforms then layer on some AI and some algorithms and stuff like that to increase their earnings. Mm-hmm. But the humans are still like the algorithm on those platforms. And so by just changing how the money is distributed, you can expect better content. You can expect content that is more in line with what people want and not, you know, the classic, like, people having their mouth open in every thumbnail on YouTube because that's for the algorithm, right? So there's a lot of things that are like second and third order effects of the current legacy systems, of the legacy systems like model and incentives that, what are the third order effects of an attention marketplace? Forget like the immediate one. The second and third order effects are where you really see change start to happen.
Yeah, money is flowing. You have a circular economy. And to give credit to all these other projects, they're doing that right now. They're zapping people. They're putting money in people's wallets that they can then just zap out, right? So like growing that circular economy is going to be really interesting because we live in a reality where you can love a TV show and you know it has a cult following and they cancel it. That would not happen if we lived in a world where the content creators were getting paid directly by the people who supported them and they had enough people watching their stuff that they could earn enough to keep making their art.
Because the people that are paying them are willing to watch the ads that are in that content creator's product because they know that's how we're going to fund their product.
Yeah. Like, if this was actually a transparent transaction and experience, I think we would all have a different relationship with advertisements also because we would know that, oh, these people are just sponsoring something I like, or they're sponsoring my internet experience. And this is how everything gets paid for. Nothing is free. Nothing in life is free. Like, right? It's teaching you that reality instead of lying to you and tricking you in a way to steal your attention.
Yeah, I mean, you could argue that the majority of the internet for the past 20 years has been VC funded and has not been priced accordingly.
I can and I will argue that.
And to that point, you were saying, you know, you don't want to guesstimate what the price of attention is, but I thought that zap from Blockstream was very interesting because that might have been the biggest zap advertisement that I got. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it was like 250 sats, I think. At the time, it was less than 100,000 per Bitcoin. So it was a little less than a quarter, right? Mm-hmm. But that was like a quarter.
Yeah.
And that wasn't 60 seconds. That was like, hey,
yeah,
someone just threw a quarter at your face. Mm-hmm. You have to turn and look like, what's going on, right?
What do you want?
So like, I thought that was a very interesting price point because, well, Blockstream was selling something. So, okay, they gave me 250 sats. If I go buy one of their products, that's hundreds of thousands of sats. So yeah, it's so much easier to do the economic calculation when you know exactly how much you gave the person and exactly how much you'll get back if they accomplish the task you want them to, which is to, in their scenario, buy a product.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, okay, I'll give you a quarter and I give you a code for 20% off. If you don't use a 20% off code, it was a quarter. If you use a 20% off code, I didn't give it to you for free. You still bought a thing.
It definitely changes the formula, the equation that everyone has been using in digital advertising.
Yeah. And I think
not to be overly dramatic, but it changes everything.
Get the power back. Get the freedom back. Get an M-Pub. And just start with that.
It's time for Satoshi for your thoughts, Ian. Are you ready?
Always.
Generally speaking, like the general adoption of Bitcoin by the mass majority, right? Do you think that it's going to be because of attention theft or their digital footprint, right? Like if the advertising models that will exist on Noster are more private in terms of the data that's being collected about them, which do you think is going to pull people in?
Well, I don't think that people care about privacy when you talk about the mass majority of people. I don't think they care, because if they did, they wouldn't be using the legacy systems that they are using. But I think what Noster gives people right out the gate, or sorry, what fundamentally Noster and Bitcoin give people right out the gate is more privacy by default that you're not even necessarily asking for, right? And so when it comes to advertising, on the legacy platform, you're totally unaware of all the data that you're generating, right? Like you know the things that you post are generating data, but you're kind of unaware of all the other things that your actions are generating data for.
And it's generating data for companies that you might not even have relationships with.
I mean, there's that too.
Yeah.
But on Noster, for the most part, you are fully aware of most of the data that you're generating because you have to sign your Noster events, right? That includes zaps. If I want to zap you money, I fundamentally sign an event saying I zapped you some money and here's the receipt proving that I zapped you.
Yeah, but it's the same experience I have on other apps when I leave a comment. I'm hitting post or like.
It's not the same is what I'm getting at. So on Noster, which you don't use it this way yet, so you're probably not aware of it, but like you can set it up where every time your client is going to sign an event that gets sent, you get a notification. And you could say, no, thank you. I don't want to sign that. Mm. And I don't want to publish that, right? So if you are someone who cares about that type of stuff, you have that control on the Noster protocol to not publish certain data because it's your key that has to sign something. Just like with Bitcoin, it's your key that has to sign something to send the Bitcoin. And so one of the things that I've been playing with as I've been building out the promo protocol is I'm building an API layer. And the API layer has, you know, metrics, right? So, okay, you make a request for the API to the API, you ask for some data, some metrics, and I give you back some data. It's like, okay, how do I know this data is true? I can include every single event that was signed by every single person that produce those metrics, and anyone can verify that data to prove that that data verifies that the metrics that I gave you are the aggregate of those events.
So if for some example, there's someone who's advertising a lot and they want to look at everything that their ad campaigns have produced, they could just look at all that data and analyze it themselves.
Yes, because it's fundamentally not Nextblock's data. It's not the promo protocol's data. It's literally just data that's out there.
So do you think larger companies that are just stuck having to use these legacy platforms are really going to get liberated via Nextblock?
Well, it's not fundamentally Nextblock. I mean, obviously we created the promo
one
protocol.
One and the same until there's another one.
But the point is that what the promo protocol does is say nobody owns the data. All we're doing is, for lack of a better term, scraping and or aggregating all the published data that we care about. So, for example, there's going to be hopefully hundreds, if not thousands, of billboards, right? I don't care about the metrics for those other billboards when I'm referring to my billboard. So when I go to the Noster network and I say, give me all the metrics for my billboard, it's going to give me just the events that are related to my billboard. But someone else might build something that says, I want to know the entire promo protocol data set and I want to see everything and I want to do aggregates of all the things. Okay, cool. The data's out there for you to do that also. Or maybe, like you said, you're a company. You're like, well, I want to analyze the data myself. Cool. It's out there for you too. So these are the things that, you know, when we talk about Twitter, like Twitter charges you to get access to that data.
Interesting.
Right? Like, and they don't even, they don't do it maliciously, but it's like you're paying them to go collect that data for you and to present it to you in a useful fashion.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
You could, in theory, I guess, they might have an API where you can get all the data and do it yourself.
There's just a lot of barriers to like being able to access that information, for anyone to be able to access that information whenever they wanted.
Yeah, but the point that I was driving at is they could give you some of the data, but a significant portion of that data is that surveillance data,
mm-hmm.
right? When they show you where people are watching your ad, how do they know that? Because they have IP addresses. Yeah. So they take those IP addresses, they run them against an IP address geolocator, and then they attach the geolocation of the IP address. Twitter's not going to give you the IP address because that would be creepy mm-hmm. and weird, right? So they won't give you IP addresses, but they will give you the geolocation in a roundabout area like DC mm-hmm. or Maryland or United States, right? They'll give you that data. At NextBlock, we don't have it, number one. Number two, all of our code is fundamentally open source. So if we were collecting IP addresses, you would see it in the code. And number three, like, because it's a protocol, at NextBlock, we're not doing that, but someone else might be doing that.
Yeah, I actually really love our privacy policy. I don't know if anyone's ever going to read it, but our privacy policy really does try to explain how we're different and how your privacy is different on Noster. And I wrote it in a way that it would be easy to digest. It's not on the internet yet. Our website's getting updated. The app's about to launch. So just a teaser for the NextBlock privacy policy. But I do think that these are things that everyone should be thinking about more and more. And so while you might be voting with your dollars, which a lot of people have been doing, I want to say the past 10 years, where you spend your time digitally matters. And there are a lot of people trying to solve these problems. We're not the only ones. But going out there and playing around with ones and really using them will show the market that this is better than what's being done. And when the advertisers move over to Noster, that's when we all win. That's what we want. And the way they'll move over is if people come to Noster. So it's got to be a movement that's powered by the people. Yeah, we can't take back our attention unless we do it together.
Power to the people.
Get the power back. Get the freedom back. Get an M pub. And just start with that.